Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
Hello, I'm Amy Loboda, guest host here at Flightline Radio, and today I have John Burton, president of Sun and Fun and fly-in chairman. John, how are you today?
I'm excellent, Amy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, what are this year's special events at Sun and Fun?
We have got a heck of a lineup this year. 2009 is our 35th year, so we thought that on the 35th year, why not celebrate an anniversary? So we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the United States Army's Golden Knight parachute team.
Excellent.
So we're going to have the Golden Knights with us most of the week. They're going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so they'll be participating in the air show, and they're going to be doing some precision jumping like you've never seen before. And I tell people, I finally have the answer to the question, why jump out of a perfectly good airplane? If you're the Golden Knights and you can do what they do and do it the way they do it, it is absolutely phenomenal. So I think our guests will be especially appreciative of their efforts. And you know, last year we had the Thunderbirds, and I've never seen the Golden Knights perform. And I think that there's a number of people who haven't seen him perform either. So I think it's going to be a really neat change from the high power and the speed of the jets to the parachute. So that's one thing. We have what we're calling an unlikely reunion, where we have retired Air Force General Dan Cherry and a Viet Cong MiG-21 pilot, Hong Mi, who had an encounter over North Vietnam in 1972.
Wow.
And General Cherry shot down the MiG pilot, and they were in very close pursuit. And General Cherry was so close behind the MiG that when the pilot ejected, he actually had to do a knife edge so that he didn't destroy the parachute and kind of kill the opposing pilot. So it was an honorable thing to do. But in the 30, 40 plus years since that encounter in 1972, General Cherry had always wondered what happened to that pilot. Did he survive that fall? Did he survive the war? What happened? So, all these years later, within the past 6 months, General Cherry went to Vietnam and was reunited with this pilot on Vietnamese television. It was kind of a this is your life kind of deal, and they brought General Cherry back out, and they wound up being, what's the best way to say it? Honorable friends. There is honor among pilots, even on opposing sides. And Hong Mi showed General Cherry all of Ho Chi Minh City, invited him to stay at his home. And now we've invited Hong Mi to Sun and Fun. General Cherry will be here. General Cherry was flying an F-4. Hong Mi was flying a MiG-21, and we're trying to coordinate getting an F-4 and a MiG-21 here. But the real story is the human interest story of these two people, what happened that day over North Vietnam, and what has transpired to both pilots since that time. So very, very fascinating story. We also have five of the big Grumman amphibious aircraft. A lot of folks have seen one. Some have seen two or three. But rarely, unless you're in Alaska, do you see all five of the Grumman amphibious aircraft. So we're going to have the five Grumman amphibious aircraft. We're working with the Seaplane Pilots Association. Jim McManus has been very, very helpful. Also, Kermit Weeks is going to bring his duck and his widgeon, which we already have here in our museum. And we're going to get the pilots to talk about not only their particular aircraft, but the significance that that airplane has played in aviation history. So I think that's going to be a really neat thing. One other thing that we're working on right now is, have you ever heard of Earth Day?
Yes, Earth Day.
Earth Day this year is April 22nd, which is the second day of our fly-in. So we're going to be coordinating some Earth Day activities, but we're also trying to coordinate aviation technology that is eco-friendly and kind of green technology or green services, and especially as they relate to aviation. And we're working with the Lindbergh Foundation on some of the grants that they have awarded to eco-friendly, you know, to people who are doing research into technology, but technology that is friendly to our environment.
Sure.
So we're bringing some of those grant recipients down. John and Martha King will be doing an evening program along with Patty Wagstaff on their trip over to Africa and working with the Kenyan Wildlife Service in training some of their pilots on keeping better track of the herd in Kenya. So they returned, I think, about 3 weeks ago, and they're going to be doing an evening program, and it all relates into the eco-friendly type of activities that we're planning in relation to Earth Day. Let's see, we're looking at the possibility of having some of the rocket racers that were up at Oshkosh last summer, and those are really spectacular. For folks who haven't seen the rocket racers, I really encourage them to come down and take a peek this year. And of course, the core activities that we have are the educational forums, seminars, and workshops, and we'll be having those in spades all week long. Night air show is Friday, hot air balloon launch is Saturday morning. So, I mean, from Tuesday through our closing Sunday, we are going to have a spectacular lineup, and this year we'll have an F-16 and an F-18 demo team. So, man, from amphibious aircraft to the jets to the jumpers to education programs, I think we've got something for literally every aviation interest.
That's exciting. Now, the dates are April 22nd through the 26th, is that correct?
April 21st through the 26th. Earth Day is the 22nd, so that's our second day of the show.
Second day, excellent. 21st through the 26th, and that is a Monday through Sunday, correct?
Tuesday through Sunday. We have our gala. We have a number of activities on Mondays. Matter of fact, you're correct in that we open our gates on Monday, and then Monday night we have what we call our pre-flight night. We used to call it our gala, and that's kind of the kickoff to the week's activities. So we don't officially open until Tuesday, but there's plenty of things going on Monday, including pre-flight night, which is a fundraiser, proceeds of which go to support our youth aviation education programs and our endowment. So that's on Monday. Officially, the opening day is Tuesday, April 21st, and then we close after the air show on Sunday, April 26th.
Tell me a little bit more about your education initiatives. There's a high school here on the Sun and Fun campus.
Yes,
now.
Amy, thank you. There's a lot of folks who know of our mission, and its core is education. This past year, we partnered up with Polk County School Board, as well as some secondary institutions like Polk Community College, University of South Florida, and some other organizations, and we actually have our first year of the high school called the Central Florida Aerospace Academy. 67 students, they're taking all of their classes right here on the Sun and Fun campus. We have majorly refurbished some of our facilities to handle the kids with classrooms, computer laboratories, workshops, all of that. And we eventually will add classes behind the sophomores. When they become juniors, we'll fill in behind them. And then by the time they're seniors, we'll probably have between 375 and 400 high school kids here at Sun and Fun whose focus is on math, science, technology, and aviation. When they graduate with our dual enrollment credits, they could graduate with a high school diploma, an associate degree from a college, and with their ticket in avionics repair and maintenance. So we're what an opportunity for young people.
That's unique to this part of the state, is that not correct?
Very, very unique. First of its kind, as far as we know in this area. I know that there is another school in Miami and a school up in St. Augustine, but they're not on an airport. And what better place to learn aviation than being on an airport?
Yeah, precisely. Are your volunteers ready for this show?
Boy, I'll tell you, our volunteers have been ready since late summer, early fall. We've had some of our early bird volunteers that have arrived as early. I think the first early bird volunteers arrived in late September, and they have been growing in numbers ever since then. And I think they are ready as always to get going. In addition, we have a group called our yearly birds who assist us year-round, not only in preparing for the fly-in, but really with our Florida Air Museum and other year-round activities. And then the army of volunteers for the fly-in, they're 3,000 strong, will be beginning to come probably the week before the fly-in to get all the final preparations. We've already had two volunteer meetings where we've tried to brief everybody on what's going on, some of the highlights that we talked about, as well as some of the new challenges that we're facing for this year. But I'll tell you, I think our volunteers are always ready. I just admire and am inspired by their commitment, their talent, and their enthusiasm. So an emphatic yes to your question. The volunteers are ready, always have been, and I think always will be.
Tell me a little bit about the museum. That's one of the year-round projects here at the Sun and Fun campus.
Absolutely. The Florida Air Museum, we are very proud to say, was named the state of Florida's official aviation museum and education center back in the year 2003. So we have really been waving that banner for quite some time. It's really our year, Sun and Fun's year-round footprint on Lakeland-Linder Regional Airport and the city of Lakeland. We're open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, full hours, and then on Saturday and Sunday a little bit less. But again, there's a strong volunteer effort that supports our efforts in the museum. We have about 38 aircraft on display at any one time in the 20,000 square foot Florida Air Museum. We also have an annex where we have the F-14, the vertical riser, and some of the Kermit Weeks collection. So it's just a fascinating museum. Our year-round education programs are offered through the Florida Air Museum. So all of the education activities that we reference are really programs that are offered through the Florida Air Museum. And they, in addition to what we had talked about, they include a lecture series that is, when I hear lecture, I think, oh boy, boring. But we've had some speakers that have been absolutely fascinating, not only in what they're talking about, but how they've gone about to getting to where they're at in aviation history. So it's great programs. We certainly have our youth summer camp programs. We initiated week-long residential programs last year. Those are going to be starting up in late May, early June again this year. In the past, we've gone 6 weeks in the summer. This year, we're looking at extending that to 8 weeks. So all of those education programs are offered through the Florida Air Museum. And again, it's really our year-round footprint here on the airport.
Tell me a little bit about the FAA Production Studios. You have a nice teamwork going with them.
We have one of the world's best partners in the FAA's National Resource Center, which we are pleased and proud to say is housed here on the Sun and Fun campus. I mentioned the volunteer meetings earlier. We conduct those meetings here in FAA's National Resource Center on our campus, and we get tremendous support not only from staff at FAA who are here year-round, but they too have a fabulous volunteer support network that really enables us to do the programs here again on a year-round basis. I know Obi and his gang are working on aviation safety programs. Used to be kind of on Saturdays. Now it's literally 7 days a week. So it's a wonderful resource for pilots in the aviation community, but they're wonderful friends and partners for Sun and Fun, and we salute them every opportunity we get.
Well, we like them because that's where the FAA Flightline Radio is generated from. So that's where we're sitting today. Let's go over those dates one more time, John. It is
opening on Tuesday, April 21st. We end on Sunday, April 26th. This is our 35th annual fly-in, and we depend so much on our volunteers that we literally could not put on an event the size and scope of the Sun and Fun Flying without their commitment, without their talents, and without their enthusiasm. So,
John, is it too late to volunteer?
Absolutely not.
Where do they call?
Two different places. If you're more technology savvy, you can apply via the website, which is www.sun-nnovember-fun.org. And there's a place for volunteers to express their interest, to tell us a little bit what they're interested in doing, or the year-round phone number, area code 863-644-2431. And our volunteer coordinator is Robin McFarlane, and she is taking names and putting them in the right places.
Excellent. John Burton, president of Sun and Fun and fly-in chairman, thank you so much for being with us here today on Flightline Radio. This is Amy Labota, guest host for Flightline Radio. Thank you for listening.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.